This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's time. Time for the kickoff show. Sunday, and we're locked in on the red and gold.
What a run by George Kittle!
What's going on, faithful? That's right. What you've been waiting for pretty much since last February, Lorenzo Neal. A Super Bowl rematch, the biggest regular season game of the season for the San Francisco 49ers as they get set to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a very special kickoff show here live at the Hilton Santa Clara. 3 hours, 3.5 hours until 1:25. Just you and me and a lot of good times out here as everybody gets ready for what we're hoping can be the moment where the Niners eventually get over the hump.
I love it. I mean, man, we got 3.5 hours, so we got a lot of time to do a lot of goofing around and got a lot of time to talk some X's and O's. I'm excited, baby. It's football. I mean, look at the weather's great. Nice breeze. You hear the music out there. They're kicking it up. My man's got McCaffrey shirt on out here. The DJ. It is set. This is what you want. You know, this is it right before, you know, Halloween. The weather's nice and crisp and brisk. And you're just thinking, my goodness, this is what I want to see. The Kansas City Chiefs that comes in at 5-0. The Niners have been kind of up and down. And we're like, hey, will the real Niners please stand up? Please stand up. And we get to see them Sunday right here at 1:25, 1:20 kickoff. I can't wait. My daddy used to tell me, son, if you can't get along, you might as well get it on. And today they're going to be getting it on, Biggie.
And they got no choice. They got no choice because this is who the Niners have in front of them. It is the beast they have yet to slay. They have not beaten Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid regular or postseason, I should say. And that's really just been the thorn in the side of this franchise because you can make the argument that if not for the Kansas City Chiefs and if it's and butts were candies and nuts,
come on,
we all know. But if this team was not in front of the Niners the way they have been come February 11th last year, 2019 Super Bowl, the Niners would be the class of the entire football league. But they've been number two. They've been the team that's been a little bit forgotten in history to this point because of what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do, which is win 3 Super Bowls in the last 4 seasons, and what Andy Reid has been able to do with him, which is just be better than the 49ers in the biggest moments. And so even though today is not a day, you can't right all the wrongs, you can't go back and take back all the Super Bowls, you're not going to get the rings back today, but what you can do, in my opinion, is at least find a way to take down a team that has been in your nightmares. To me, it is as much about a psychological victory as it is about you moving to 4-3.
No question, my guy, E. And here's the thing. If I told you Usain Bolt, right? You know who that is, right? And I said, who won the 100? You said, Usain Bolt. But I asked you a question. Who took second? Exactly. There you go. And that's what everyone said. Well, the Niners, man, they've been in the Super Bowl. Yeah, and this, that, yeah. But you know what? But no one really remembers second place. It's about winning a title. It's about winning a championship. And that's what's at stake. Not a championship today, but this is for the psyche. I remember they had this boy down in Lee Moore. His name was Ruben. Oh, yeah. Oh, Ruben. Ruben, I remember him like yesterday. Oh, Ruben, one day he took my lunch money. And I was like, man, he took my lunch money. Little Spanish guy. And he could box, too. And Ruben, one day, you know, I took Ruben down. Wrestled him to the ground. I had him one time, so I said, okay, I got him. I got old Ruben. I'm telling you, Ruben came back next day, me and Ruben, and he caught me off guard with a one piece. Boom, I'm in kindergarten. Old Ruben got me. And then, you know, like a week later, I see Ruben, and I walk the other way. Ruben said, hey, come back over here, Lorenzo. Come back over. here. I'm like, no, I don't really want to go. I knew I was stronger than him, and you think that you can beat him. And all of a sudden, he caught me again. So he wins two, and I'm like, man, so now your mind starts to play tricks on you, especially if you let them get off early, especially if you let him get the first punch, especially if you know, and he start to have, they give him that confidence. That's why this game for me with the Niners, this is like that old Ruben game for me. Ruben got me a couple times now. You know what the Niners, the Kansas City Chiefs got you a couple times. They're your Ruben, but you got to find a way to strike these guys and hit them hard and hit them first and let them know this is going to be all day, baby. No Ruben here today. No Ruben.
Maybe a couple Ruben sandwiches. They're serving hot slices left and right out here at the tailgate outside of the Hilton Santa Clara. It is a bump in time. Get in, get ready for what is going to be a heavyweight prize fight. 15 rounds between the defending Super Bowl champs and the teams that were the runner-up. This is a Super Bowl rematch. This is what many people had circled. I understand it's week 7. You got 17 games to play. But as far as regular season matchups go, this was the one that I had my eyes on the most, because it's not so often that you get to number one, play a team that has a chance to go and win a Super Bowl and that has done it three times, but also a chance to host him, to get him in front of the home crowd, to bring him into the building and see what you're made of. And the 49ers right now have been, they've been playing the Jekyll and Hyde act all season. We don't know who they are yet, but this is a game in which I can I believe not only that they can go get, but they can use to establish what this season can become for them.
Didn't last year they come here and play, or the year before? And
2022.
Yeah,
they got dog walked.
They got motorboated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kansas City came in here in the stadium and just took them to the wood pile and just beat up on them. And then, you know, so it's like, hey, look, revenge is always sweet. I don't care what people say. Oh, yeah, it's the last year. That game is then. And you know what? You can't think about that. Stop lying. I remember playing against them Rams, and I'm telling you right now, they broke a Super Bowl from me. And you always think about those games. So, yeah, I know we're creatures of habits, and you have to understand, yes, you got to move and turn the page. I get all that. But you got to also just exercise those demons. You got to go ahead and show the world, not even the fans, but you owe it to yourself. Yeah, it's some new players on this team, but you owe it to yourself. I'm excited about this matchup. You look at what Kansas City's been able to do. They just find a way to win. They don't look necessarily dominant, but they found a way. You look at the Niners. The Niners, they don't look dominant, and at times they look great, and at times they don't look good. So, but they don't find a way. So you got two tells today. One team has been finding a way. The other team has been up and down. Has played some good talent. Played against a good team, Minnesota, undefeated. So you've been in some battles. You've even had an opportunity. Right now, you have an opportunity. If you look at their schedule and you think about what they've been through, this team, we could be sitting here at 6-0. When you think about the games that they lost, the Rams had that game. You look at when they played Minnesota, had an opportunity to win that game. Some bad mistakes. Some turnovers.
Arizona,
a team that you had dominating by double digits in the fourth, and you didn't find a way. And then, you know, you look at Seattle. You know, you went out and you played well, but you almost lost it. You almost turned over. You know, so you just got to put this game together today. I know we're going to get in X and O's. We got a long time, but it's just like, this is a great test for the Niners. It's a great test for Kansas City. Kansas City's looking to say, hey, look, guys, let's ride the ship. They know what the Niners want to do. They know the Niners looking for revenge. So it's just a game, you know, E, that you look at and you're like, man, these are two teams that are very, very competitive. Two teams that aren't playing great. One happens to be undefeated. The other is not undefeated. But neither one of these teams can say that they played their best football thus far.
I think that's a great point. That's something we've talked about so far during the kickoff shows, is the Chiefs have found ways to win football games where the Niners so far have not. That doesn't mean that the Niners can't get to where they want to go. But this is why I find this game so fascinating, is it's one of the few where you can talk about the game within the game. The matchups within the big matchup, you're looking about, obviously, Kyle Shanahan versus Andy Reid, Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes, you know, maybe it's Fred Warner versus Travis Kelce, George Kittle versus George Karlaftis. Like, there's so many battles within this specific game, and these teams are so familiar with each other.
Right.
Yes, there's some different faces, there's some different pieces. Spagnuolo, obviously the defensive coordinator for Kansas City, has given Brock Purdy and this Niners offense fits for the last few years, no matter who has been in the backfield on offense. So this is a game that, you know, Niners are going to be missing McCaffrey.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs are missing some pieces of their own.
Sure,
their stud wide receiver, Rashee Rice, is out for the season. So there are guys that are missing in this game, but the matchups within themselves, I don't know where I'm going to be putting my binoculars on the field. I don't know which guys
so
I'm going to be watching.
Right? So much talent out there.
There's 11 players on each side, And it's basically going to be like 2 5-on-5 basketball games. Yeah. I don't know where my eyes are going to go.
No, it's going to be all over the place. You might, at the end of the game, you might be cross-eyed. Hell, that's the kind of talent you'll see on the field. What did you think? Did you think this game was going to get flexed? Did you guys think this game was a flex game to, you know, maybe move to Monday night, or you know, look at the look at the 5 o'clock game? It's the Steelers, and, you know, and the Jets. Is that what people want? I looked at this game and I'm like, man, is something going to move this game to a primetime spot? But no, they didn't. Were you shocked with that?
A little bit, but I'm also glad because it means that we get Tom Brady on this football game. We get the GOAT in the building, Kevin Burkhardt, the number one Fox crew, of course, kicking off at 1:25, and this is a game that is drawing the best of the best. So, you know, I was a little surprised that it, especially compared to, you know, Jets and Steelers.
Right.
There's more of the toxic storylines going on with those football teams, quarterback changes, trades, people unhappy, coaches getting fired. Here it's just about football. Right, like, it's just about football, Levi's Stadium today.
Yeah, no question. It's just about football. You know, were you surprised? You know, I'm going, taking down this rabbit hole. Were you surprised with the Jets made a move on Robert Saleh? Was that something that you did you see? I say that because we know the ties that he has with the Niners. Were you surprised?
Yes. Yeah, I was. And I mean, it's always interesting to me that coaches, I mean, look, I understand you're the head coach. Your record is what it is. You get blamed no matter what happens. But It seemed to me like he got the short end of the stick and is basically falling on the sword for the failures of a front office and ownership group that has not been able to do anything in the last 10 years.
And that's what my point. You look at the Giants, they, you know, not played great, but they stayed with their coach. You look around the league and you're like, man, I'm just kind of shocked that Robert Saleh is a hell of a defensive coordinator coach, and you think, okay, you're going to give this guy at some time. I'm just kind of shocked like you that they pulled the trigger that fast. You look at certain organizations, and that's give kudos to the Niners and their organization. You know, you see how he now stepped back and said, okay, York, he said, hey, look, I'm going to take our time. We're going to let, you know, we're going to let Cal do his thing. You don't see necessarily the front office meddling like they used to. Mm-hmm. You saw, you know, young York, you know, first with Harbaugh, and now look at the maturity from this young man to sit and say, you know, could have panicked a couple years back. Cal Shanahan won 4 or 5 games. Could say, hey, no, we got to go in a new direction. Never once put his name out there on the hot seat. They trust the process. Just kind of looking around the league, you look at this Jets organization and other organizations, especially when it comes to the Jets, just pulling the plug that fast on a pretty good coach.
Well, exactly. And I mean, even someone like Andy Reid, I mean, going back to his time in Philadelphia, at 8-10 win seasons in 14 years.
Right.
The last two were the ones that got him run out of the building, but obviously, that looks like a premature move. And I know that, you know, that might have been about the time to part ways. And obviously, he got to Kansas City, and they've been successful ever since. They've only had one season in which they have not won double-digit football games under him as head coach. But I agree with you. I just think that, look, it's a delicate dance between, all right, 3 seasons of ineptitude. You're moving into a 4th. You finally got your pieces together, but you need to win now. I just feel like, and actually, this is something that you taught me, Lo, and have continued to teach me. 5 weeks in the NFL is not that long of a time. Now, I know you have to make choices based on a small sample size, and inevitably things are going to be done, but 5 games, this Niners team, for example, I think is going to be a completely different football team in week 10 than it is even now in week 7.
No question. I think that's a great point, E, that you're making. You look around and you say, okay, here's a team in the Jets that finally got their guy who's been out for pretty much 2 years. That's Aaron Rodgers, that is. And you think about coming back from Achilles, and all of a sudden now you're saying, okay, win now with a quarterback that has a year of rust. Seemed like they would have said, let's get through this year. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what we're going to do. And now next year you're on the hot seat. I just think that sometimes these ownership and whatever happens, guys sometimes start to panic, they start to blink, and they say, oh my goodness, let's make some moves. You and I, we talked heading several weeks ago when they were going to play, you know, the Arizona. You and I, you said, well, I'll panic after this. And I said, you said, and I told you, I wouldn't necessarily panic, because if they lose, it's going to come down to fundamentals, execution. They're not processing. I said, so I still wouldn't necessarily panic, but I said, man, it just tells you, when are they going to make the effort? When are they going to have those changes? And tell this Niner team.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Always, I continue to say this, and I'll say it again, until each individual says enough. That's the coaching staff. The coaches have to coach harder. Special teams coach have to play, coach harder. Because until you continue to make mistakes on different phases of the game, you're going to continue to struggle. Because right now, it is what it is. Your team is not good enough to overcome many mistakes like the Niners have been able to do. And today is one of those games that you can't make. You have to make less mistakes than Kansas City. Oh, by the way, Kansas City will make some mistakes. Their quarterback, even though he's the best quarterback in the league, he will turn the ball over. Are you going to capitalize, and are you going to have less mistakes, win the turnover battles if you want to win this game today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Niners and the Chiefs so far this season, Connor, are on polar opposite sides. Like, if you look at what the numbers say, the Niners have been a pretty damn efficient offense. Their defense hasn't been as bad as a lot of people have been led to believe, but situationally, they struggle. Special teams, they've been terrible.
Horrible.
Even against Seattle.
Horrible.
They had the fumble on special teams that they got, but then they gave up a kickoff
turn
in the second half, and that nearly flipped the game. Now they were able to put it away, but still, very dangerous spot being up by 20 points. That game was eventually shrunk to a one-score game. So the Chiefs, meanwhile, are a team that they're not high-flying by
no,
any means.
No.
They're not scoring 30 points a game like they used to. Their point differential for a 5-0 team is one of the lowest in league history, and that just goes to show that they have been good when it counts, when it matters. And so that's my biggest question about this game, is when the Niners need to make a play, can they do it against the team that has continuously done it the best over the last, well, I would say, over the last 6 or 7 years, really, since Patrick Mahomes came in the league?
No question. You know, now they have the 12-round fights. Used to be, you know, used to be 15. And they always say from 9 to 12, from round 9 to 12, mm-hmm. they call those the championship rounds. And I tell you right now, the championship round for the for this San Francisco 49ers team this year has not been good. That's because you look about it. Hey, you looked at Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather, you saw he kept it close. Okay, boom. But in those last couple rounds, he closed. Ray Leonard knew how to close. When you think about great fighters, they know how to close out games. And that's what we haven't seen from this Super Bowl hangover from this Niner team. They haven't shown the ability to close. That's what we need to see today. You watch Kansas City. You talked about it. They haven't been great. They keep everything, take everything even, fights even, going to the championship rounds. And then some kind of way, this Kansas City Chiefs says, you know what? It's championship round. It's time to close. It's time to put the women and kids to bed and win this game. And that's what they've been able to do. And the Niners haven't shown you that they have that still, that killer instinct for the championship rounds. That's one of the things that I'm looking for again today.
Well, and again, if the Niners can find a way to slay this dragon that is Kansas City, I think that would also give them so much more confidence, even if they revert a little bit. Because, look, they've had some great weeks. They've had some really bad weeks. Again, we said this off the top. I still don't know exactly who the 2024 San Francisco 49ers are. But a win today, to me, means that you can look at any opponent, and for example, Dallas is coming in next week. After the bye, you got Tampa Bay. You got five straight potential playoff teams after the bye, some very good football teams. Those are going to be tough games. A lot of games on the road.
Right.
You might not win all those games. But even if you don't, if you have a game like this in your pocket, that's a level of play that you know that you can get to. And to be able to beat a team like Kansas City, whether they're 5-0, whether they're 3-2, 4-1, they're a damn good football team. And to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid here in front of your home crowd, I think would be massive for them moving forward because of knowing what they can do. We have seen so far a little bit of a glimpse here, a little bit of a glimpse there, but not a full performance enough to say that you're good enough to hang with the big boys, in my opinion. The three wins that they have so far this season have not been incredibly impressive.
No.
And the teams that they've lost to have not been incredibly impressive. So the Niners right now, I think, need to make a statement, and this is a great showcase to do it.
Yeah, you know what? I talk about it's a word, Q-U-I-T, quit. When you look at a team like the Saints, they've shown you that they have some quit in them. At the end of the game, you see them just kind of lay down. You can go around the league and look at Jacksonville, a team that looked like was going to be in a playoff type of team. You see them quit.
Yeah.
You go around this league and you look at some teams that you say, huh, what does this team make up? You look at Arizona, you see some quit in them. you look around and you think about some of the teams that looked like they were going to be good. The Dallas Cowboys, for instance, watch them. They quit. When the game's on the line, certain things happen. You look at this Cowboy team, they have some quit in them. One thing about the Niners, I'm going somewhere with this. One thing about the Niners this year, in spite of playing as bad and letting some missed opportunities get away, they don't quit. That's what, there's your hope. You have a team that's going to play hard. They're going to play hard. They're not playing necessarily smart. They're not playing necessarily technique sound. But one thing about this team compared to some teams out there, they don't quit. And that's what you have to say. Hey, look, this is a good thing that you have a team that even though they've lost some games, the Niners haven't quit this year.
No, they haven't. I mean, where they've hurt themselves is like the Scarecrow, right? They're not the Tin Man. They got heart.
Right.
All right? They're not the Lion. They got courage.
Sure.
But they're the Scarecrow. They haven't played with their heads enough in order to be a football team that's north of 500. Even the game last week, or 2 weeks, I guess, a week and a half ago in Seattle, that was a game that I feel like they closed, but the Seahawks were the ones that sort of initiated, in my opinion. Geno Smith did not play very well. And credit to Renardo Green making a big pick down the stretch of that football game to put it away. Of course, Isaac Guerrero has a big run up the sideline. They eventually punch it in to go up by double digits. 12-point win. But that was a game that was open. That was a game that was a pre-snap penalty away from a DK Metcalf touchdown, making that a very close football game after being up by 20 points. So the Niners, yes, they technically closed on the road on a short week to their credit on Thursday night in Seattle, but they have not yet, I think, to do it against an opponent that doesn't have quit in them. I think the Seahawks have shown they got a little bit of quit in them. You look at the Jets, obviously, with everything that we just talked about. If we get rid of the head coach, don't know where the season's going. They got some quit in them. And then, of course, the New England Patriots are a team that's expected to compete. So the 49ers, I think, to your point, Lo, have to show that they can close a football team against a team that doesn't have quit, because the Niners yet have not really gotten to that point so far this season.
Yeah, and then earlier we talked about championship type of rounds, championship football. You know, the latter rounds. Floyd Mayweather, he was always going to win that 10th and that 11th and 12th round. You go look at his fighting career and you think about those championship rounds. He found a way to close and he found a way to keep guys off guard when they would try to hit him. He hit them two or three times and get out of there. And that's what you saw against Seattle. Instead of them saying, you know what, I'm going to keep them off guard, bop, 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 I'm going to knock them out and go ahead and finish them and not give them hope. They sat there in 11th and 12th and said, okay, boom, I'm going to go rope-a-dope and take unnecessarily punishment, take unnecessarily hits that we don't have to take. We can just say, look, all we got to do is stay aggressive and keep punching and keep our hands up and keep moving, and we will go ahead and finish these guys off. And that's what we're talking about, championships round. That's the difference between championship teams and teams that get right there to the finish line and can't get in the playoffs. Teams that can't win the big game because they don't know how to close. We know this team shown that they can close. We've seen this team play at a very, very high level. We just haven't seen the consistency this year.
And we'll dig deeper into some of these X's and O's, the matchups we're looking to see from, obviously, the quarterbacks, obviously, the head coaches. But also kind of an underlying factor in this game is it is as close as you can get to a preview of a big postseason matchup, because this game, whoever wins it, it'll be nice. You know, the Niners can move to 4-3. The Chiefs could move to 6-0. But it's not going to write what happened last year in the Super Bowl.
No.
And I know a lot of people have said this already this week. The game that does matter would be the next time they have to play. But as you well know, every time you play in a Super Bowl, you get a week off.
Right.
Well, the Chiefs are coming off a bye week. The Niners are coming off an extended week, though they played on Thursday. They don't have a full bye, but kind of a mini built-in bye. This is as close to a simulation of what you would have to play in February in New Orleans if they were to get there to potentially beat this team again. A long ways to go. Who knows if the Niners are going to make it? Who knows if the Chiefs are going to make it? But it's also something else that essentially replicates or simulates what they had to do last year and what makes it even the more difficult.
Yeah, it really does, because the magnitude of this game, it is big. I know you're saying it doesn't matter if you're not going to win. It doesn't mean this is a Super Bowl or any indication of the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying you can't go win last year's Super Bowl today.
No. I totally agree with you there, 100%. I think also, though, if you look at Kansas City, if they leave out of here being 5-1, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they got a 2 or 3 game win on a lead over the Chargers, Denver, and the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So think about what this means to these two teams. This game, the Niners should be playing with their hair like their hair is on fire. This game means more, and it's bigger for the Niners than it is Kansas City. I just got to tell you that because a lot of you, you know what? It's not going to. No, it's not. But let me tell you, to be 3-4, and like, my goodness, we got 3-4. Okay, Dallas, okay, get back to 4-4. But you're never getting ahead of the sticks. We always talk about it in football. Talking about win on first and second down for you can be 3rd and 3 or less. Mm-hmm. 3rd and 3 or less, your percentages of converting first downs go through the roof. When you're 3rd and 7 or more, 3rd and 5 or more, the percentage is less because they're going to play man-to-man. You can bring the heat, and usually the extra guy, 1,001, 1,002, the ball has to be gone. If the ball's not gone, the pressure, because they're usually going to bring one more guy that you can't block. That's why on those 3rd and 2s and 3s, you have to play off or have to do some other things because of the fact the ball's coming out quick. 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, the ball can't come out. Sometimes it can't come out quick because they can put pressure on you and you can't necessarily block. That's what I'm talking about. That's why this game to me means more for the Niners, because it gives them an opportunity to be ahead. It gives them a chance to finally go be 4-3 instead of looking up and saying, okay, guys, we're 3-4. We got to win next week to get back to 500.
Exactly. Well, and it was not exactly the same situation. The Chiefs weren't undefeated, but when they last played each other here at Levi's was 2 years ago. The Chiefs were 4-2. The Niners were 3-3. The Niners were slightly favored in that football game, and Kansas City just walked them up and down the field and sent them to 3-4.
Yeah.
So, you know, a comparable situation, but a very different set of characters, including,
sure,
obviously the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, because Brock Purdy had not taken over to that point yet. So I do think that you're onto something. The urgency is clearly with San Francisco. This is a team not only urgent to, you know, beat the Chiefs, take revenge, but also get back above 500.
Right.
They've been below 500 now 2 times this year.
Right.
It's the first time it's ever happened with Brock Purdy as quarterback. And when you're playing from below sea level, I mean, Dallas is a team you've had ownage over, but that's not an easy football game to win next week. And then you're looking at basically only being 4-4 going into the bye. So you're right. This is a big game that the Niners, from a standing, just a pure standing standpoint, do need much more than KC.
Yeah, and that's the thing that you want to see today. And that's why it's better to be able to look down than look up. Because when you're looking up the mountain, sometimes it can be discouraging. You know, before you start looking up that hill, before you start running up a hill, you look up and like, let me get my mind right because I got a long run up.
Mm-hmm.
When you get up and you're ahead, when you say, I'm further up than I am down, now you look and you say, okay, it gives you more confidence. You can dig a little deeper. You have a little bit more energy, because when you look down and you say, man, I've already came a long ways, I can see the finish line. That's what this is. That's what the analogy I'm trying to make is, that's what this is about. Because even though you just start, you look up and you're like, okay, I got to stay focused. I got to stay. And that's why when you're at 3-4, it's just a different feeling, man. I played this game. I've been in locker rooms where, you know, you're behind the 8 ball. The sense of urgency goes up and you're like, doggone it. Why do we keep getting in this position? You're like, man, what is it? What's wrong? You're trying to identify what we got to do. Guys are trying to push a little harder. Guys are getting a little more frisky at practice. You know, going to work is not as easy. The soreness of your body, the pain, your hams, the body, you're like, God, and you're still not 500. When you're winning, you're out there playing with energy. You're playing with love. You're playing with more just relaxed. When you're ahead and looking down, you just like, okay, here we go. Yeah, you could be a little sore, still sore, but the soreness doesn't feel as bad when you're looking up compared to looking down.
And that's Lorenzo Neal talking. Did this for damn near 20 years in the NFL, so he knows what he's talking about. I mean, the other part about the Niners, too, is at least it does help a little bit. You know, the rest of the division doesn't look as strong as it did, or I think a lot of people expected it to look this season. Even though they've lost, of course, to Arizona and Los Angeles, everyone else is 500 or below, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Niners would love to get this win to basically keep themselves atop the division. And, again, just breathe a little bit. They haven't been able to breathe so far this season. I mean, they've had their head underwater. They've been gasping for air, whether it's because of injuries, whether it's because of blown leads, whether it's because they haven't been able to execute when they've needed to. This has not been a team that has been able to play with that freedom that you're talking about, a team that has that confidence to know that this time last year they were 5-1.
Right.
They were playing with love, they were playing with joy. This team right now, I think, is playing with a little more tightness than we saw last year.
Exactly. Who sings that song? My head's underwater. I forget who sings that, you know? Hit the text on 9555. Anyway, let me know who sings
it. Little Mermaid?
No, it's an R&B singer. The text line will let me know. They'll let me know. I'm surprised Cam hadn't hit me in my ear and told me who sings that song, because I sound like him. My head's underwater. But, yeah, you're absolutely right to be out of the water, to be on top. It just makes you feel different. And I think that these guys understand that. And the importance of just playing better football. You think about where this Niner team has been when they were 5-1. Think about last year, you're talking about 5-1. You don't think that you're going to lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're winning and you know how to win, it makes you feel different. Because even if you're down, you're like, we're winning this game. You look, and it's just something it does when you are losing, though. And that's why Kansas City, look at those guys. They find a way to win even when the game is close. You don't see panic. You see just teams relax. You see them just like, okay. And if they know they're down by 3, you look at them, they're like, okay, we got this. And you watch in that fourth quarter, okay, a team a blink, make a mistake, and here we go. The Kansas City Chiefs win that game. The Niners had that. And that's what you don't see, that they when they're close and a game's close and they're up by 3, you see the Niners, you watch the body language, and you see it's like it's not that confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's what's missing. And that's why you need to change the trajectory of this team to start feeling that way, because it gives you more confidence. It gives you that aura that you're like, okay, we know we're going to win. And now especially, you have a lot of young guys, secondary, running backs. These guys, they need to feel that. Some of these guys, they understand when college, man, it's the 49ers, they know how to win. But now you have a team that is being tested. So you need to show these young guys how, as a veteran, how, as a leader, that we're going to show you, hey, don't worry, guys, we got this. We're getting ready to start turning this around. Because the sooner you can do that, guess what? These younger players are going to start making more plays. They're going to become more aggressive. You're going to see more things happen. Look at Isaiah Worthy from Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
little receiver. Look at, because they're having success, they expect that. And now you look at the way that he plays with passion, all those different things, because they're having success. When you win and you have your young players, because your organization is a dynasty, and you find out that you know you can win and you start winning like that, you see it. It becomes infectious on the other players. That's what winning does. It's more than just friggin' X's and O's. Winning starts to breed the success, and now you're setting a foundation, and that's how you start these dynasties. And that's why Kansas City, do you see everyone talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and how they're a dynasty because of the fact they win, and now the young guys come in and they don't miss a beat because they're not expected to do everything. They want to do things because they know the team around is pretty good.
Well, speaking of winning, anybody here at the Hilton Santa Clara is winning today.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are starting to roll in. The libations are starting to flow. We got my man on the ones and twos in the McCaffrey jersey bumping with the crowd. Come by, have some fun, say what's up. We're at the Hilton Santa Clara. This is the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law. If you've been wrong, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Chiefs Niners Super Bowl rematch, 125 kick. We got you until then, right here on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
Appreciate Lorenzo Neal taking a break from hanging with the crowd, just tossing a couple balls.
Yeah, you like that. I looked like Purdy out there, didn't I? Did you see them strikes I was throwing? I mean, I wasn't even throwing in completes, baby. I was throwing dimes out there. We got some balls out here, throwing them to the crowd out here.
Yep.
They getting hypey out here. My man E's been watching me throw these dimes. He's watching me tell guys to go long. Guy, you know, I got Debo out there. I'm like, man, hitting him in stride.
Throwing the ball to Kittle, throwing the ball to the Jerry Rice jerseys.
Exactly.
Even the Kansas City Chiefs fans come get some love. All right, the Hilton Santa Clara, that is where we're partying at right now on the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law. And this is the thing. Look, it is about the party. There, to me, right now, there isn't tension, and there shouldn't be until kickoff, until 125.
Right.
And we got plenty of time to get into the Niners. We got an extra hour on air here on 95.7 The Game. We also got my man Jake Hutchinson coming coming in. He is our 49ers insider. He's here every single day, in and out of the building, knows well. He's going to join us, I believe, at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. But in the meantime, we also have to look at the lay of the land. We have to look at, look, everyone has their eyes on the Chiefs and the Niners. People want to see what's going on at Levi's Stadium between the defending champs and the runner-ups, the Super Bowl rematch. But around the NFC, there are a lot of people, specifically in the NFC North, really everyone outside of the NFC West, that I think has been not necessarily shocking people, but drawing a lot of eyes. The Minnesota Vikings are taking on the Detroit Lions today for a place at the top of that division, which looks like possibly the best division in football. You're looking at the Houston Texans, who are taking on the Green Bay Packers, a couple of 4-5 win teams. There are a lot of good squads right now going on.
Give me some scores,
today.
Baby. Give the people some scores right now.
Well, would it shock you to know that Minnesota is up 10-0 on the Detroit Lions?
Wow. I'm going to tell you right now, this Minnesota Viking team is just playing lights out. I mean, they're undefeated. When you look at their schedule and the way that they're playing, Sam Darnold, you know, the reemergence of his career.
He was looking like you.
The man. He was looking like me the way I was throwing them dimes out there to the fans. Absolutely. But think about Sam Darnold. He comes to the Niners, and that's why Niner fans, Niner players, you look at the system. Here's a guy that got ran out of New York,
yep.
Got ran out of Carolina. And you heard him say the best thing happened in his career was come to the Niners. He said he didn't know what he didn't know. What he did was being able to practice with Purdy, watching Purdy, the understanding what Purdy's done, going through the fundamentals and what Purdy brought to the table for him. When a guy like Sam Darnold can say that about Purdy and this organization, and look what he's done to Minnesota. He took that same winning attitude to Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and showed them what does it take to win. You had a guy in Kirk Cousins that was there for years, but look what Sam Darnold did because of his study, his attention to detail, and things that he learned from this Niners organization has really elevated his play, and that's why right now the Minnesota Vikings is beating Detroit Lions 10-0, and that's pretty good.
Well, look, it's a freestyle right here. We got for the next couple of hours up until the Niners and the Chiefs kick off here live at the Hilton Santa Clara on the kickoff show with Evan Giddings, Lorenzo Neal. And now, pleased to be joined by our 49ers insider, Jake Hutchinson.
Jake!
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, of course. Well, thanks for stopping by. I mean, it's a party outside. First and foremost, do you feel like there is, I don't know whether it's tension or urgency around the building? Because we know it's going to be inside the building later on today, looking at the Super Bowl rematch. But did you feel like between, well, I don't know, this Kansas City, I was in a flight earlier today coming back from the Midwest. Kansas City Chiefs fans are jumping off the plane, jumping for joy. Niners fans are coming into town. Everybody's coming together for what we believe to be, obviously not a Super Bowl itself, but a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, it's funny because honestly, I think this was the loosest I've seen the Niners practice all year. Kyle Juszczyk punted like a 55-yarder in practice.
Wow.
Vibes were good. Ricky Pearsall was, you know, I think he was a factor too, and just
how'd he look?
He looks fast, man.
Really?
He was gassed the first day because he's just going full speed, and it's a midseason practice.
Sure, sure.
And he's just so excited that
his body looks recovered. Looks like he's catching balls. Looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, they show us only like the first four periods, but he looks good, man. He's cutting. He's quick. I mean, you know, he tested 90th percentile and everything before the draft. Mm. I love what I see from him. I was a huge fan, you know, before the draft, but I think he looks good.
You think we'll get see this young fella today? What are you thinking? A limited role? How do you think they utilize a guy who missed pretty much, you know, a lot of the training camp, didn't get any of the season because of the injury that happened, of course, unforeseen injury.
Yeah.
But how do you see how this Niner team, you know, implement this young guy?
A hell of a debut.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The funny thing about it is, I think the reason they drafted Pearsall in the first place was going back to that Chiefs game, right? They had Deebo Samuel, who could not separate from man coverage, and they kept throwing the ball his way. He had 6 targets against man coverage, 0 catches. I think Pearsall was a guy they think can separate or at least challenge man coverage. And so today, you know, I don't think he's going to have a full role, but with sure. No Juwan Jennings, I mean, I think you need to have him out there. I think we'll probably see a decent amount of Chris Conley too. He's just a vet they trust to run the routes. But I think you got to have Pearsall out there. Maybe it's only, you know, 20-25 snaps, something
sure.
to ease him in there. But I think if he's looking good and he's looking like, you know, he's challenging the Chiefs, who are going to play a lot of man, and the 49ers are going to have to beat it to get him to change to the zone that they love. love, I think you got to have Pearsall out there for, you know, probably not like a full run, but a decent, you know, 20-snap chunk.
Well, and that's what Spagnuolo was talking about this week in regards to Purdy. It's like he eviscerates zone defense, and so you're going to have to keep them in man, which is also where the Chiefs are largely successful. Do you feel like that this defense, and I think it's been the strength of their team so far this year, their offense hasn't been necessarily high-flying, and they've been dealing with their own injuries, of course, at the wide receiving position. But do you feel like this Chiefs defense is that much different from last year?
No. It's funny because they lost L'Jarius Sneed, who's been terrible in Tennessee, and that's something that you thought, oh, that's going to be a big loss for him. But they've got this corner, Jalen Watson, who's been awesome in man coverage. He's the third most man coverage snaps. McDuffie's still excellent. They still, like, they blitz a ton. It's funny. They're the best defense in the league on blitzes. The 49ers are the worst defense in the league on blitzes. These teams are like inverse images of each other. It's funny because I just think Kansas City, they got a lot of beef in the middle, and the 49ers interior of their offensive line is pretty weak.
Right.
And so you got a situation where it's like Chris Jones, Tershawn Wharton, Mike Pinnell, just big
monsters.
Guys.
Monsters.
It's going to be a real challenge for the 49ers, and the Chiefs are, like you said, kind of the same as last year.
And when you talk about that, let's just talk about kind of get into this Niners, kind of the offense where we were at, and you're talking about Conley and the receivers that are stepped up. When you're saying, okay, Debo's not necessarily can't separate the best, but he's one of those guys we know when the ball's in his hand, that's when magic happens.
Right.
You think about, you know, Conley. What does he bring? What does a veteran like Conley bring to the table? What have you seen? Because we haven't seen a lot of him necessarily this year. I know Jennings has been that third down guy, and he's shown that he can be a go-to in a very, very critical situation. He's Mr. Reliable. But what do you see at the other guys? We understand who Debo is. Ayuk runs nice routes, gets in and out, and he can probably separate a little bit in man coverage. The other guys.
Yeah.
Who's those other guys that you look at and say, okay, this guy can do this?
Right. So I'll start with Conley. I just think they trust him to know every single play and exactly how Kyle Shanahan wants him to run his routes. He's not, you know, where he is physically, you know, earlier in his career, but he is still he's the biggest receiver they have. He's a really physical presence. So if they are going to press, I think he's got the strength to break off of that, especially if it's breaking out versus breaking in. So he can do that. I think Jacob Cowan's an X factor in this game. They haven't used him a lot. He's been hurt. But he's a guy that, like, if you run a little drag route or have him over the middle, he can run. And, you know, he's been in this offense more than Pearsall has so far. So he's a guy where, again, I think it's a limited route tree, but he's pretty quick. Like, I think he can challenge the defense vertically, but, you know, they haven't used him a lot. I don't know if that trust is there. They clearly trust him on punt returns. He's been pretty reliable there. I wonder if they get him mixed in a little bit more, too.
95.7 The Game insider for the 49ers, Jake Hutchinson, joining us live at the Hilton Santa Clara before the Niners take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings is brought to you by Habas Law. Well, I do want to stick with the offense because the Niners, in my opinion, so far this season at least, I'm not really sure who they are yet. And if I asked you what the identity of this team is, I'm not really sure that there's just one thing that it comes to. Even though last year at this point, they were 5-1. They were coming off their first loss. They looked like they finally had somewhat of a weakness in their armor. This year has been such a Jekyll and Hyde act that even in some of their wins, specifically last time out against Seattle, there was still maybe did they really close or did Seattle help them close? These are the questions that I feel like they have a great chance to answer against an obviously supreme opponent like Kansas City.
I'm with you. I think this team has not really proven much this season. You know, they've gotten out to these great starts in the first half and this defense has faded and the offense has faded and you get into a situation where, you know, Brock Purdy loves running shotgun, but like their core and their bread and butter, and they went back to it in Seattle where they just got under center and they ran play action. It's the least play action they've run in Kyle Shanahan's tenure here. I don't know if that's going to work against Kansas City, but it's funny because the offense developed to a point last year with McCaffrey where they could run out of shotgun, and he's such a man coverage beater that, you know, he would just challenge it and teams would let them get into the zones or they'd run man coverage and then McCaffrey would beat it. But without him, Jordan Mason doesn't really do that. You know, he's a great, great running back. He's second in the league in, you know, rushing yards after contact. And I think that's going to challenge Kansas City on the outside where they're a little weaker. But yeah, they don't really have an identity. They're trying to run the same stuff as last year. And without McCaffrey, it it's not really working, and I don't think Purdy's had the chemistry with Ayuk to really look his way as much as he should.
No question, he really hasn't. Did had the chemistry with him and Ayuk not having training camp and kind of had a slow start. When you think about the part you talked about, you talked about Jordan Mason and this running back crew. We understand McCaffrey, if he's even, he's a guy that's leaving. You look at Jordan Mason, these guys, yeah, they can run hard, and he's probably more of a chain mover than a game changer. He can move the chains better than McCaffrey, but McCaffrey's a game changer. You talked about, hey, look, what Mason can't do, far as in the passing game, McCaffrey could line up in the backfield, line up in trips, line up at, you know, in the point. It could be any play, the X, play the Y, play the Z. He's a nightmare. He's a nightmare for linebackers because he's too fast for linebackers. He's too physical for safeties. So what do you do now? So since you haven't had that ability as a running back to beat man coverage and do things for make teams say, I got to play zone, because if McCaffrey catches the ball against a linebacker, he can turn a five-yard play into, you know, a home run. So what do you think the Niners do offensively, schematically, or player-wise to overcome that setback?
I think going back to basics last week worked against Seattle. I'm not sure this is a defense that'll work as well on. But if they can test their edges, I think that's a huge part of it. But, like, testing them in a way where, like, Isaac Garendo is a guy that he broke out a little bit. He's a guy that at Louisville was great in the pass game, catching and going. If they can get him on some bubble screens and make the Chiefs have to account that way, that's something that can test them. And if they do end up spreading it out, like, you know, Purdy is liked, and granted, Mason, like we said, he's not really going to test him the same way as McCaffrey. I still think George Kittle, like, this is a great game for him, because Nick Bolton, he's like a sure tackling linebacker, but he can really be beat by tight ends. The Chiefs are the worst at allowing yards to tight ends. I think this is a big Kittle game, and I think Pearsall, if they put man coverage and they spread it out and he challenges them, I think Ayuk's going to get some opportunities. Purdy just has to look his way.
Well, and George Kittle has been the best red zone target, arguably, in football this season, leading with 5 touchdowns. And I just think it's interesting how, you know, kind of the one-on-one versus that everyone likes to put up for these specific teams, right? Purdy versus Mahomes, Kittle versus Kelsey. Kittle and Purdy statistically have outperformed their Hall of Fame counterparts, but it's almost like that doesn't really matter in this situation. You just throw it out because Mahomes, the question about him is always, well, how do you stop him? Well, teams have kind of limited him a little bit this season. He hasn't been as prolific as he's been in years past, and obviously in the postseason. So I just wonder how defensively, because that's an area where the Niners, I think, have been better than people give them credit for, but situationally have struggled. And that's where the Chiefs really take advantage of you, is when they got to have it, they go get it. And so I just wonder how the Niners' defense is going to be able to match up against the Chiefs' offense that isn't what it used to be. Certainly is missing a Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy looks like a game breaker, but they're not a high power explosive offense. How do they try and limit these players, or do they kind of just take what other teams have done, which has been working?
Yeah, it's something where it's like, as much as it's a corny coach speak thing, like, bend don't break.
Because
the thing about Mahomes is he used to be a guy that with Tyreek, he just chuck it downfield, and that was his whole identity. And I think specifically last year when their receiving core got a bunch of random guys, you know, he just started taking checkdowns. He would take whatever's there, and he's really good at dink and dunking you. They run some more RPOs. They run a lot of stuff. And their run game, they don't run the ball a lot, but they're really good. They've got the best interior offensive line in the league.
Effective.
And they're a team that can just dink and dunk you and grind you down the field. And I think the 49ers, they've been a really bad second half of the game defense.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs do that, and granted, like, they might come up with some field goals early, they make adjustments better than any team in the league. I think if they do that and they wear on the 49ers defense, and they're weak at defensive tackle, they've got a lot of injuries, they've not been good against the run there, I think the Chiefs can wear on them, and that's something that the 49ers, they've got to be really sound with their gaps on the interior and not getting beat there and forcing, like, you know, a Juju Smith-Schuster who's, you know, kind of got a hamstring thing to beat you.
That's
a big game the last time I was here. It was a couple years ago, but I think he had like a buck 20 and 8 catches. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, last time they were here, they ran it up.
They
dropped
did.
42 points.
And that's the thing that you're saying. You look at the Kansas City, they haven't shown that they can get 30. They haven't shown that they can go out and just light it up. But like you said, they bend, but they don't break. It's a team that if you get 24, you win this game. If you're the Niners, you can get the 24, you win this game. A guy that, you know, that you have to account for, and you talked about how the Niners defense interior, I agree with you, haven't stopped the run yet, haven't been consistent all year except the Jets game. There's a guy on the other side, Chris Jones. How do you slow that guy down? He can play the three. He can play defensive end. He plays up and down the line. What's the Niners? What's the answer?
Well, they better have an answer because they lost the Super Bowl because on two plays they had offensive line protection breakdowns, and they had a touchdown to Debo that would have been a touchdown, and Chris Jones was unblocked. And then they had another one where I think Ayuk came wide open in the end zone, and Jones again
overtime,
went unblocked because Burford blew the protection. And it's just something where, you know, Chris Foerster, offensive line coach, talked about it. He's like, yeah, that's not been a good protection for us ever, which is not what you want to hear going into this game. But Trent Williams broke down basically how Spags likes to run Chris Jones. He's like, basically, Spags knows you basically put two people on Chris Jones and you run blitzes away from him. So that's something the 49ers have to be ready for. That's how Trent McDuffie got him on that key play. Yeah. I mean, Spags is going to mix it up. He's going to throw blitzes at you. You just have to try and account as best you can. And hopefully, like, Dominic Pooney plays well against Chris Jones, which is, you know,
hard task.
It's a hard task, and Foerster was talking about it. Pooney's been great, but teams are getting more film on him, and they're picking up on stuff. And regardless of how good a rookie's been, it's Chris Jones. So, you know, they can have a great game plan, but he's going to beat you a couple times. You just got to hope it's not on those key third downs.
It feels like he's, just because of his retirement, just taking Aaron Donald's place.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the marquee guy in the middle to get to a quarterback whenever he wants to. I did want to ask you about that guy for the 49ers and Nick Bosa, because he's coming off one of his, arguably his best games of his career in Seattle. Do you feel like the rap on Bosa has been a little more harsh just because there hasn't been the sack totals, or do you feel like some of the criticism has been fair for a player that is one of the highest paid ever?
I think there's two parts. I think Bosa needs to finish better because he gets guys close and he just doesn't hold on, and that's a fair criticism, but he's creating pressure at a ridiculous rate. Like, he forced an interception from Geno, and on that one play that DK got like 30 yards, if Bosa wasn't pressuring him, Jackson Smith and Jigba was wide open down the other side of the field, it would have been a touchdown. So, like, Bosa's doing stuff that is really affecting the game, but yeah, you do have to finish, and against a guy like Mahomes, if you don't finish, if you get a hand on him and he goes free, you know what's going to happen. You know he's going to find somebody 40 yards down the field, right, and it's going to break your spine.
How much is this due to the fact that the other guys, when you talked about what Bosa's been able to do, and you say, hey, look, here's some stuff that's not in the stats, but this is what he's doing. Is it the lack of other guys? And so what guys need to, did you say, man, something has to happen up front? We know who Freddie is. You know what some of the guys are doing on the back end. What needs to transpire up front besides Bosa to really put this team in a position that they can win this game today?
Yeah, Leonard Floyd, like, his whole thing, his whole career is not that he's like this dynamic beater. You know, he's got a nice cross chop move, but he's not really always winning. It's like he needs to wait for Bosa to get the pressure and then finish the guy if Bosa doesn't finish him. That's one. Number two, my X factor this week, Sam Okwuanu. He's been a backup defensive end. He broke out against the Patriots. He's kind of been, you know, understated since then. He is a very good player. He's got like the 18th highest pressure rate in the league in pass sets. He's an elite run defender. He's setting the edge in a way that 49ers haven't had. I think he could be really important. And the Chiefs have terrible offensive tackles. They've got Wanya Morris, who replaced Kingsley Suamataia, the rookie, who's been bad. And then they've got Juwan Taylor, who's just been terrible. But, you know, in the playoffs, you're allowed to hold and you're allowed to false start.
Exactly.
And so if they don't get away with that stuff, I think the 49ers are going to have a lot of luck getting home to Mahomes. But, you know, it's the Chiefs, and they're a little lenient with that stuff. So we'll see what they get away with.
Jake Hutchinson, 49ers Insider for 95.7 The Game, joining us on the kickoff show here at the Hilton Santa Clara. Well, but before we got to hit a break at the top of the hour, but I do want to get, I don't know, just your feeling on this game. You know, I just got back from Las Vegas. I've been seeing this line move heavily in the Niners' favor. I think it was originally 1. Now it's closer to 2.5. I don't know if you are a gambling man whatsoever, but when you saw this game and after seeing the week of extended practice for the Niners, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like they can win this football game?
If I was going on vibes, I would say the Niners' vibes are actually really good. You know, just going on that, going on how practice went, going that they're being pretty humble, and they're like, we have not beaten this team, and we have to acknowledge that. It's not the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. That said, watching the film, I just think it's specifically a bad matchup for the 49ers. Without McCaffrey, with Pearsall in his first week, with no Jennings, I think there's just going to be so much man coverage. The 49ers have not proven that they can beat it effectively. They've not shown they're effective in the red zone. And with the way the Chiefs are built, it's the opposite of the Niners. I think they can really attack the Niners front on offense, and they can probably stop them up the middle on defense. And it's like, it's tough. It's tough. I just think it's a tough matchup in my gut. If you want a prediction, I'd say 27 Chiefs, 23 Niners. It's like, you know, it's tough. I think the Niners can absolutely win that game, but, you know, I predicted them to win both of the last two Super Bowls against the Chiefs, so I'm going to flip it.
And maybe it works out the other way. Yeah. I like what you're thinking.
Maybe it flips.
The reverse devil tongue. I love it.
Yeah, can I get you a question on the other side, or you want to have them go through break, or what do we want to do here?
You cool sticking around?
I'm good.
All right, Jake Hutchins is going to stick with us here on the Kickoff Show, brought to you by Habbas Law. If you've been wronged, Habbas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabbasLaw.com. That's Lorenzo Neal, Evan Giddings. Stop by the Hilton, say what's up. You might catch a football from Sam Darnold, a.k.a. Lorenzo Neal, on the other side as we continue on. We roll towards 125 here. Niners, Chiefs on 95.7 The Game.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app